Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's 8 o'clock, and here is your local newscast for Monday, January 14th. Nearly a third of this year's state lawmakers are newly elected, and they'll be expected to debate a host of complex issues, from Medicaid to marijuana, gun laws to the death penalty. As part of our Capitol Conversation series, State House reporter Benta Berkland takes a look at the first week of the session and gets fellow reporters' thoughts on the governor's State of the State address.
Joining me, we have Tim Hoover with the Denver Post and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. First, I want to ask just what stood out to you in Hickenlooper's State of the State address. This was the third time he's laid out a legislative agenda. I thought he was more specific than in years past. Ed?
Well, I mean, what stood out to me is how much stood out in the speech. As you said, he was a little bit more specific. There were still a lot of areas that he left open for interpretation, but he essentially gave the legislature what he hopes is its agenda this year, from dealing with setting up statewide rules for oil and gas drilling to dealing with some sort of gun control measure. He was a bit less specific on that, to even asking them to take on the question that's dogged this place for the past decade: how do you go about constitutional reform? Throw in little things, and I say little things in quotes, like civil unions, allowance of undocumented immigrants' children to pay state college tuition rates, and a four-bill package of economic development measures that he wants to see passed. I think Hickenlooper expects these people are going to work pretty hard this year, and the expectation is returned from them.
And Tim, he didn't touch on the death penalty, which is something Democrats say they're thinking of repealing.
That was a huge issue that he didn't touch. He did talk about guns, coming out and saying that he was in favor of universal background checks, but there's a lot of related gun issues he didn't talk about. He didn't talk about, would he favor any sort of restrictions on high ammo clips? Would he favor some sort of ban or prohibitions on the sale of certain kinds of assault-style weapons? I agree, this speech was by far his most substantive and wide-ranging. He's been a spectator for essentially the last 2 years, sitting outside the boxing ring, watching the guy in blue and the guy in red smack the hell out of each other. And now it's two guys in blue and Hickenlooper's in there too.
It's hard to imagine the oil and gas regulations won't be one of the tougher areas to negotiate. Hickenlooper is very pro-industry, pro-natural gas. During his speech, talked about fair regulations that are based on science. And a lot of Democrats really want strict rules on fracking, and they don't think the governor's on board with their ideas.
It was interesting to see the reactions of Democratic House Speaker Mark Ferrandino and Democratic Senate President John Morse afterwards. When asked, what did you feel about Hickenlooper setting forth this plan to give statewide rather than local regulations, they both said, oh, sure, we're fine with that, as long as the regulations are tough enough. And that's going to be the real sticking point there, is how far is the Democratic legislature going to go toward the side of public health and safety versus the side of promoting the oil and gas drilling industry?
For the last several years, the big topic and the big sticking point of the session has been deep budget cuts. We're not going to see that this year, but there's so many other weighty issues. Civil unions, which ground the legislature to a halt last year, is expected to pass relatively quickly, along with this lower tuition rate for illegal immigrant students. Then we've got all the marijuana regulations.
Right. Just because of some timing, you have all these sort of planets aligning. There is going to be just a massive cattle chute of issues coming at him this year. The civil unions probably passed pretty quickly. The lower tuition for undocumented immigrants surely will pass, but now it becomes a question of degrees. Do they get the same tuition rate as natural-born students, or do they get simply a discount? That's what's been proposed in the past. It's huge. And like you say, the budget, we're no longer dealing with bloodletting, but now it's going to be a fight over the money as we're recovering. What should be restored first? Public schools, colleges?
A lot for us to cover. Thanks. That was Tim Hoover with the Denver Post and Ed Sealover with the Denver Business Journal. I'm Benta Berkland, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
Late last week, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service released a proposal to list the Gunnison sage grouse as endangered under the Endangered Species Act. More than 1.7 million acres could be designated as critical habitat if the bird is listed. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that the proposal is the latest in a multi-year saga of legal wrangling as wildlife advocates and conservation organizations have battled to get federal protections for the bird. There are 7 populations of the Gunnison sage grouse in the state, 6 in southern Colorado, including in the San Miguel Basin, and 1 near the Colorado-Utah border. They live in shrub habitats and engage in an elaborate mating dance each spring. The Planet reports that locally, the Gunnison sage grouse populations have decreased dramatically. Lee Robertson, coordinator of the San Miguel Basin Gunnison Sage Grouse Working Group, says the San Miguel Basin population is about 40% of what it was a decade ago. She supports the listing, as does Hillary White of Sheep Mountain Alliance, a Telluride-based environmental organization. But White says it's never good news when a species' survival has become so dire that it warrants federal protections. The Planet reports that according to the listing proposal, the principal threat to the bird is habitat loss and degradation due to human development and associated infrastructure. Other threats include improper grazing management, predation, and genetic risks in the remaining small populations. The Planet reports that the San Miguel Basin Gunnison Sage Grouse Working Group has been working to preserve and improve local bird habitat, put conservation easements on land, and has done education and outreach, among other things. Thursday's announcement kicked off a 60-day comment period. The public and scientific community have until March 12th to submit comments to the Fish and Wildlife Service, which is expected to make a final decision by October. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is holding several upcoming open houses on the issue. The Montrose meeting is scheduled for January 30th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Express. And that concludes your local newscast here on Monday. For Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF, my name is Eric Gould. Have a great Monday, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.